first round exit, Sliwa. Let's get the new title here. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. Clint, this is we're going to kind of hear a lot of people's opinion about the Lakers over the next, I'd say, today you'll hear a lot of it. You'll probably get a little bit more on Monday, and then things will quiet down because there's great playoff games going on, and some of the attention's going to obviously shift to the teams that remain. I want to play a clip here from Stephen A. Smith. So Stephen A. was making the argument earlier today with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on that show. He's saying that LeBron James and Anthony Davis can't win a championship again together. Take a listen to this.
This season was the Lakers' best chance in the LeBron James era to get another chip. Now that it has faded, I believe it is over, that the Los Angeles Lakers will be in the playoffs as long as LeBron James is there. They'll be formidable enough, but they will fall. Somebody will be there to knock them off. This was their best chance. They ain't getting any younger. LeBron James certainly ain't getting any younger. And I think that your best chance left last night. It's over.
Clint, what do you think of that? When you hear that, and Stephen A. is obviously not mixing words here, he's, okay, hey, Lakers could try whatever they want, but because LeBron's walking into his 19th season, AD has been injury prone. He doesn't think the Lakers will win another championship with those two together.
That doesn't really square for me in the context of also saying that injuries are the reason why the Lakers couldn't reach their ceiling this season. So for me, if the Lakers are healthy and the Lakers can, well, let me say this differently. If LeBron is healthy, as healthy as he can be, if AD is back to 100%, of course I think they can win another championship. That would be, like, I have to almost believe that as an NBA fan. Forget about somebody that covers the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, if AD and LeBron together are a non-factor in the championship matrix of the NBA, that's not good for anybody. So I don't agree with that at all. I mean, if he's saying that, okay, what all the pieces are going to be for the Lakers to get back to a championship level of contention is one thing, okay, but like I'm not going to say that because LeBron is older and because AD had a very rough season injury-wise coming out of the bubble year, that, I mean, that just seems to be a lot to say about a situation in which there is an element of time that could heal, not necessarily all, but it could certainly heal your top two players.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Let me kind of put it that way. Honestly, it's ridiculous. I'll tell you why it's ridiculous, because if you thought they could win a championship this year, if they were healthy, they're going to get a full offseason this year.
Right.
They didn't get a full offseason last season. Do you think that Rob Pelinka, LeBron James, Clutch Sports, Anthony Davis, you think they're just going to sit back this offseason and not pay attention to the opportunity to potentially win one more championship before LeBron hangs it up? I'm not telling you it's a guaranteed happen. I'm not saying it's a lock to happen. But it's not like the Lakers are sitting in a position where you just know this is it. You got to break this whole thing up. There was a time, and this has just happened, you know, in previous Lakers history, and this happens with teams that eventually win championships and then things kind of fade out. The Kobe Shaq days, you kind of knew that this is coming to a close. Right?
Yeah.
This is coming to a close. The Kobe Powell days, you felt like this thing might be running its course. I don't think anybody thinks that LeBron and Anthony Davis has ran its course. Now, I'm not saying that LeBron's not walking into his 19th season. I get that. I understand that. I think you do have to be realistic. But I also think the Lakers will address that. I think that the way they kind of put together their roster, you know what the toughest thing to walk away from this season is that you never got to see the whole thing really put together. So when people are going to criticize Rob Pelinka, or they're going to criticize head coach Frank Vogel, or they're going to criticize the organization for some of the offseason moves they made, the unfortunate thing is you never got to see it all together. Lakers did not lose to the Phoenix Suns because the Phoenix were just flat out better, and you could play 20 times, they're still going to win a certain percentage of games that are going to prove that they're the best team. Lakers lost to the Suns because Anthony Davis wasn't there. And the one of the things that we're not going to be able to see is that these offseason acquisitions that they made, could it have worked if both of those guys were healthy? I think it's way premature to throw out LeBron and AD will never win a championship again together.
Yeah, and I, as I said before, I think it's premature. It's a... it's a serious indictment on AD because, listen, you said it yourself. The 19th season of LeBron James is one thing, but the whole purpose of having AD come in under the tutelage in the wing of LeBron is to be able to pass the baton for some level of championship competition. Now, that's not to say that AD is not perhaps the more important player than LeBron right now on the roster. Of course he is, but like, I'm not writing off Anthony Davis at this stage of his life. That would be, I just, again, maybe this is a little bit sort of weirdly biased, but like, I don't even want that to be the case. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to watch this guy succeed, and not because I'm a Lakers fan, but because this is one of the best basketball players we have in the league. He's arguably the best defender in the league when he's on point. And as a result, when he's also clicking on the offensive end, he's an MVP candidate. Like, I'm not counting out any team that has, when healthy, an MVP candidate. That doesn't even make sense to me in the larger context of the league. Now, if what he's saying, and this is the one part where I think there is a lot more merit to what the emotion of what Steve is getting at is, yo, the objects in the mirror are extremely large and extremely dangerous from a rear view standpoint. There are a ton of young players across the league that could absolutely overtake where the Lakers are currently. But that doesn't mean that I'm writing them off in terms of what they can be for the next 1 to 2 years, you know, in terms of having a chase for the NBA Finals.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We appreciate everybody tuning in. By the way, if you missed the first hour, know that you can always catch the Travis and Sliwa show on the ESPN app or on iTunes. So just search Travis and Sliwa. You guys can catch the full 2 hours. Clint Yates filling in for Travis Rogers. David in Santa Monica. David, appreciate you calling in. What's going on, David?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, I disagree with Stephen A. that the Lakers are done. I totally disagree with that. Just a few tweaks that need to happen, you know, from the front office, of course. But I do think one of their, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, a marriage doesn't end one day, right? There's different things that happen along the way. And so that's what I think happened to the Lakers this season, was a culmination of things from the front office to the coaching course and to the players that are on the floor. But what they got to think about is also morale. They lost a lot of morale in the locker room, I think. Because when you have a team that kind of falls apart, even when your superstars are not at 100%, everybody's got to have a mentality, a step-up mentality. Everybody has to have that mentality going in. And that's a leadership thing. That's a coaching thing. That's a mental conditioning thing that needs to happen with the Lakers. I think the morale, it just looked like the locker room was, you know, wasn't there. Last year you could see it, you know, that JaVale McGee, great personality guy.
Danny Green.
Dwight Howard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, and when you take those two elements out of the locker room, it falls apart. But I think they should have given Dwight another year and Rondo another year just to keep that cohesion in the locker room and the talent on the floor when they need it.
David, appreciate you calling in, bud. That's this is going to be this happens in sports. You know, do you want younger talent or what are you valuing more? Right, in a perfect world, you got a perfect mixture of both. But are you valuing guys that have been there and won championships before, and the Lakers were just coming off of that? And by the way, there was a call earlier that said that, listen, it wasn't realistic. When you win a championship, your value is going to go up. Now you're going to hit the free agency market. Rondo got 2 years, $15 million because he just won a championship with the Lakers. He was in the spotlight for, you know, those 2 years that he was here.
Playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo, right? So I think that you got to balance the experience part with the younger players that are supposed to give you more talent. I do think I wouldn't be surprised if this upcoming season there's more vets on the team. There's more championship veterans on the team that can kind of keep things together even when things are kind of falling apart.
This is where if you're Pelinka and if you're the Lakers, you continue to watch the playoffs to see who is available.
Absolutely.
Who continues to win. I mean, I'm not being flip about that, but you know, if you're a Laker fan that says, oh, they ain't playing, I'm cutting it off. Well, you might want to pay attention if you're in the business of offseason scouting from a fan standpoint. You know what I mean? Because you might be looking at somebody that's going to end up being the next Laker. Now, the reason that's important too is because I do think there's something to be said about, I don't want to say leadership drop off, but you know, when LeBron is not invincible, it will change morale a lot in a locker room. Never mind how you approach things from an opponent standpoint. So one of the things that I think they need to get is a little meaner, quite frankly, in terms of the makeup of their team. I know Trez offered a little bit of that, you know what I mean, in terms of the hit somebody in the mouth element, but that was a large part of what I thought Rondo brought to the table. This dude was a jerk. You know what I mean? And people did not like competing against him. And I know Schroeder is a little bit more in that realm, but he's more of the pest type. He wasn't necessarily the type of player in that regard that Rondo is, even if not necessarily the same skill set. So that's what I'm looking for. You might be looking for championship leadership, Slee. I need a little bit more oomph. A little bit more mean man out of these guys in terms of who you bring in and what they're gonna take, because maybe that has to, I don't want to say compensate, but it's gonna help a lot when you're dealing with some of this younger talent that's up and coming in the Jazz and the Suns and the Nuggets.
By the way, are you one? I don't know about you. I just love the NBA. So I think I had somebody calling in yesterday. We were talking about just the rest of the NBA playoffs. Are you one when your team is out, you still watching?
Dog, I'm from DC. All right. You better believe that when my team is out, I'm still watching. Otherwise, I'd never be watching NBA basketball during the playoffs.
That would be it. That would be it every year.
That would be it every year. So, yes. I get your question overall, though.
Season would end in mid-April for you every year.
That's terrible. I get your question overall, though. But to me, the NBA playoffs is the best sports tournament in the world. So, yes. Mm.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking about this. I'm like, what do you mean? Am I going to be watching? You think I'm not going to watch Luka tonight? My second favorite team in the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks.
He's a monster.
Listen, Clint, I don't know if you know this, but I happen to cheer for my second favorite team shifts a lot. It might have to do with...
This is called a side squad in my parlance. You know what I'm saying? You get a side squad going, and you know how long you stay with the side squad is up to you, and maybe not the squad, but
maybe it was Denver last year. Up until they face the Lakers. Maybe it was the Denver Nuggets. Maybe this year it's the Dallas Mavericks in the first round. Okay, let me take a quick phone call here. Coach Booker in Van Nuys, appreciate you calling in. You're on with Alan Slee and Clinton Yates. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, man. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to commend you guys on you know, from people taking your call, you know, screening people. I've been a Laker fan for over 40 years, and I appreciate what you guys do.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Let me get to it. LeBron James' age is not a factor for a wide-open missed shot. Not a factor for not boxing out. It's not a factor for effort. It's not a factor for Andre Drummond not being on the court. And Anthony Davis, two-part. And Anthony Davis, his kinetic core is weak, and I would love if he would just really focus on that. If his people around him would help him build his lower core deep squat, because with that, he could go so far. He'd be even way more amazing. And I think the biggest factor for our offseason is him getting in the weight room and really building himself into a monster and quieting some of these haters.
Coach Booker, appreciate you calling in. All right, buddy, we're coming up to a break here.
Deep squats.
I'm going to throw
not shallow squats. Deep squats.
Right when he said that, I felt like I pulled a hamstring. I didn't even move. By the way, I get what he's saying too in regards to Anthony Davis. Let's do this when we come back. I'm going to throw out a question to Laker fans. I know we got a lot of people that's piled in here, but we could put this in the mix. Can LeBron James be the best player on a team at this point of his career? Okay, can LBJ still, going into his 19th season, be the best player on a championship team? We'll take some of your phone calls as we come back. If you got other topics you want to get into, we'll do that as well. 877-710-ESPN. Alan Sliwa, Clinton Yates, the Travis and Sliwa Show. That's a nice little beat there Funt just got for us, Yates.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Love it. Electric relaxation.
So, you know what's interesting is yesterday I heard Chris Morales say that he was going to be at the graduation party at 7:30 for, you know, Travis obviously having his daughter graduated, so they're having a party for him.
A big burrito fest, I heard.
Well, then I was like, I didn't even get an invite. Like, we have a show together. I know I can't make it because of the game, but can I at least just get an invite? Travis is on his own island.
I mean, yeah. Listen.
I do need an invite.
Why? Ask Sliwa. Why do you need an invite to Travis's daughter's graduation?
I just want to
feel
part of
the. You're
going to
show
family.
Up and wow them with a bunch of defensive metric statistics? You're going to break down all the different restricted free agents?
I'm going to do my post-game show from there. My post-game show. All right, 877-710-ESPN. Let's take some more calls here. Let's go to James in Cerritos. James, thank you for calling in, bud. What's going on, James?
Hey, guys. Good show. I just wanted to say, with the Lakers, I think they were just mentally and physically exhausted. And I haven't seen a team go as cold as they went in this stretch in the playoffs. And
couldn't hit a three, man. Could not hit a three.
Yeah.
Man, they couldn't hit. They was missing layups. Mm-hmm. LeBron missed a layup in one of them games, and you just saw he smiled. The ball rolled off. But then my last thing is with AD. Have you ever seen a seven-footer fall as much as AD falls? So that's a real question. I can't think of any seven-footer that hits the ground as much as he does. But other than that, man, great show. Lakers will be back. They just need some rest.
Appreciate it, James. Appreciate it. Rest, by the way, is going to be probably the most important thing for the whatever move the Lakers make this offseason. How about rest being like the foundation of it, right? Just
how about
getting
no
players
moves?
Exactly.
How about you don't move off the couch. You know what I'm saying? Like, chill. You know,
well, as long as they could get their bodies right, and you know, luckily for the Lakers, nobody said anything about Anthony Davis yesterday, him making the injury worse or anything along those lines. LeBron said he'll be beyond ready for next season because of all the rest that they're going to get. I think rest is the foundation of it. In regards to Anthony Davis and falling on the floor and everything else, I don't know what people want me to say when I hear that. You know, I do agree that, listen, the guy is more injury prone than other players. But what do you want me to say? What do you want me to react with? You know what? They shouldn't have signed him to an extension. You know, honestly, like, what am I supposed to say? Clint, he's been with the Lakers for 2 years. The first year, he was a central piece of winning a championship to tie the Boston Celtics at number 17. AD is going to come back, in my opinion, better than ever, and I'm sure he's listening to everything going on. I'm sure the Lakers will try to figure out something for him. Is there areas of his body that he could be stronger in to help him over the long haul of an 82-game stretch? We'll have to wait and see. But it's tough for me to listen to people complaining about Anthony Davis, one of the best players in the world, that just helped 8 months ago bring an NBA championship to the Los Angeles Lakers.
It's a very weird criticism, too, because, like, I mean, the idea, I presume, is that, oh, he's 7 feet. He's supposed to be a tree trunk. He's supposed to be solid and stalwart. But what you get out of AD is you get length and you get versatility. So when you get a player that at 7 feet can do that, yes, they might end up on the floor more than others because the other side of it on a positive level is up in the air and past you. This is simply how basketball and bodies work. Like, do you want him to be a stick, or do you want him to be AD? If you want him to be AD, he's probably gonna end up falling a lot more because that's just how he moves in order to, you know, make himself the player that he is. That's not even making sense. Come on.
By the way, Clint, the style of basketball too, there's a reason why, and I agree when people say there was a stat, this was coming into, I want to say, game two, Lakers were 24-4 when AD gets to the free throw line 10 times or more in a game. Okay, 24-4. There was real, when Laker fans would say it, and I would be on the same page too, you got to do more damage in the paint. You got to get to the free throw line more. You got to be a little bit more aggressive. But he's also got a skill set that not many big men have that at close to 7 feet can hit a 22-footer, can hit an 18-footer, can face the basket, can back you down. So he's not a player that – he's not Julius Randle where he can only rely on, I got to play bully ball and try to get to the basket. That's not his style.
Right. The guy you see on the floor a lot who – feet as tall as well, Joel Embiid, and it's working out pretty okay for him when he manages to get it going. Like, you know, this is what the NBA is now. Big dudes who play like small dudes, and sometimes those dudes end up on the floor more than you would expect. A Shaquille or whoever used to be, you know, some massive dude just dominating the paint. It's a different game these days.
Yeah, the centers obviously are completely different. So I threw this question out. Can LeBron James be the best player on a team at this point of his career? So we're walking into next season, and, you know, we obviously got a lot of time, and this is going to be a discussion that we're going to have for a while. Can LBJ still be the best player on a championship team? Clint, what goes through your mind when I say that? Because in the playoffs, he averaged 23 points, which is the lowest in any first-round series ever for him. And, oh, by the way, just kind of add to this, this is the first-round matchup he's ever lost. But there are reasons why they lost, and, of course, it was because of the health of Anthony Davis. Do you still think at this stage of his career, LBJ can be the best player on a team and lead a championship team with Anthony Davis, for an example, as his sidekick?
I don't think that Anthony Davis was the sidekick when they won the NBA championship last year. So, you know, I'm coming at this from a different standpoint. Again, Anthony Davis hit the biggest shot of the playoffs last year against the Nuggets. Okay? To me, he's the most important player on the team, even if the longevity of his career does not project him out to be as good as LeBron James. In year 19, if LeBron James has to be the best player on your team is probably not very good. And there's nothing wrong with that. What LeBron James provides is a leadership element that, on top of his skill set, allows other players to get better. Who does this well at this point, as well at this point in his career? See the man who just beat the Lakers, Christopher Paul. It's the same type of a thing. Having him there simply makes your team better in terms of all of the experience of everything you do. The skill set you get anyway. But no, I don't think that he has to be the best player on his team. I don't think he was the last time they won a championship. So I understand the setup, but I think that too many people want to tie LeBron's greatness game in and game out, or roster here or roster there, to what his sort of larger contribution to the NBA is. And I think that's unfair. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James is LeBron James. We all know what he's given to the league. If he is not necessarily the most productive or the highest scorer or has the best defensive efficiency rating or whatever, so what? You want him on your team. You know what I mean? And if you've got a guy that technically probably scores more points or, you know, has a better, I don't even know what, plus minus, God knows. Like, that's fine. You know what I mean? You still got LeBron, and you're getting everything that comes with him from an IQ standpoint, which is as important as anything else.
I'm all for two on this. When the Lakers got Anthony Davis his first year, I talked about how I didn't want to see the conversation be about LeBron James for MVP. I want to see the conversation be about Anthony Davis for MVP. And my reasoning was this. It's not that LeBron James can't do it. I didn't want him to do it. I wanted LeBron to be the guy that says, hey, I need somebody that kind of takes over the game on the defensive side. I need somebody that I could go to and can drop 30 any given night. And I said this coming into this season as well, that there's got to come a point where if Anthony Davis kind of starts grabbing the, hey, start throwing more on my shoulders, it wasn't anything less that you were going to get from LeBron James. It just had more to do with the fact that Anthony Davis, he's kind of on this rise in his career, and you want to see him continue as he's kind of moving into the prime of his career, start to take over the franchise a little bit. To an extent, LeBron's still going to do what he does. He's a distributor. He's the smartest player on the floor. It's not even close. Do I think the Lakers can still win an NBA championship as LeBron is the best player? I want to kind of say this as simply as possible. Of course I do. You know, of course I do. Like, why wouldn't I think? Now, what needs to happen is he's got to also get healthy. LeBron James, you know, in that first round, he was eh. LeBron James wasn't the LeBron James that we're accustomed to seeing. And everybody would try to make comparisons. Before Game 5, Lakers and the Suns, which Lakers lost by 30, I would see highlights of people saying, this game's coming up. Remember in 2007 against the Detroit Pistons? Remember in 2012 against the Celtics? I'm like, guys, that was literally 9 to 15 years ago. What do you mean, do I remember that? Yeah, I remember that, but why are you bringing that up? So, right. But I still think that, yes, he can be the best player on a championship team, but the bigger question is going to be, how much does Anthony Davis start to take over the franchise in the sense of put more on my shoulders? Obviously, that wasn't able to happen this season.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. But I think it's unfair to LeBron James to assume that just because he shows up on the court, he is the best player or whatever that even means. And that doesn't necessarily mean it takes away from your ability to win basketball games if he doesn't fit that bill.
All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. I don't know if, Clinton, you know, but everybody knows me at the state. I'm a motorcycle guy. I mean, wherever I go, I'm on my motorcycle. That's
motorcycles and Murphy beds. Come on, Sleeve. We know the deal.
For a second there, I was like, I don't know. Is he going to believe me? I have no idea if he's going to believe me. Okay, one more quick phone call here before we go to break. Let's go to Peter in Ontario. Peter, appreciate you calling in, man. What's going on, Peter?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you.
What's up?
Hey, I think LeBron and Davis are getting way too much heat. I get it that they're the stars, but they don't need to do anything. What needs to happen here, the Lakers need to get better role players. I mean, Kuzma, we got rid of Ingram, Ball, Hart, and the dude scored 2 points on a closeout game six yesterday. Unacceptable. And then we have some older players that just don't have it anymore. We just need to revamp the roster, add a, like the earlier caller said, add a wing that defends, and maybe a shooter, not the guy that gets hot, a shooter like a Curry, the younger, or the brother.
Seth Curry.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Seth Curry, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Peter.
But other than that, they shouldn't get that heat. I mean, Davis was hurt. Yeah, he gets hurt a lot, no doubt about it, but we knew that when he was in New Orleans. So,
Peter, appreciate you calling in. Thank you. This is actually going to lead to our next topic. Who stays, who goes? If you're a Laker fan out there, who do you want to see back on this roster next season? And who do you think, you know what, the time was well when you were here, but the Lakers should move on from that player? 877-710-ESPN. We'll take a ton of phone calls coming up next. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa, Clinton Yates, Travis and Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. We appreciate everybody that's called in so far. We are reacting to the Lakers season ending. Was it June 3rd yesterday? The Lakers season is over. I think the playoffs, the final game could be July 22nd is the furthest that the Lakers season will go. So, Clint, I'm looking at the schedule. It's opening up a little bit here. It's
a little
lot
clearer.
More,
yeah.
A lot more open.
The G-Cal doesn't have as many colors on it. You know what I'm saying? These days.
I'm telling you, it's weird because you get into such a routine and the season is so long that it's a weird adjustment once everything just stops on a dime. But unfortunately for the Lakers, that's the case. We threw out this question to Laker fans. Who stays? Who goes? So you kind of look at this Lakers roster. What do you want to see happen to some of these players? Are some of these role players specifically, do you think, should be around? And are other role players, you think, all right, you know what, they're not as important to keep. So that's going to be the conversation. Let me ask you this, Clint. Is there one of these role players that you would love to see back? I mean, is there one guy that kind of stands out to you, say, man, you got to go out of your way to make sure this guy comes back?
No. But there is there's a couple situations that I think you definitely need to resolve. And I think that, first of all, I don't like the way the Schroeder situation smells. I just didn't love... And I'm not one of these guys that jumps on dudes for what they do on the internet. I'm exactly the exact opposite of that. Mm-hmm. But it just struck me as such an oddball timed thing for an otherwise fine situation. Like, okay, maybe this didn't work out the way that you wanted in terms of the success of the team. But for Dennis Schroeder to pull sort of a passive-aggressive, petty IG move and then come back and say, well, actually, I want to win a championship with the team. It just, I don't know, that didn't add up to me. The second thing is this. I think you've got to try to convince somebody, and we talked about this a little bit before the show, you've got to try to convince somebody that on a different team, Kyle Kuzma can be a different player and get an asset or two back for him. That to me is what it is. And I don't look at it as dumping Kyle at all. I look at it as what you thought you could get out of him earlier in the season. You'd have some nights where he'd blow up on guys. He's blocking shots. He's yelling at the cameras. He's looking good. And in other nights, he disappears. And I put that as much, quite frankly, on the coaching staff from a development and a motivation standpoint as I do on him. And I say that in all three equal parts. That means that I think that Kyle Kuzma is a very serviceable to above average, perhaps NBA player, that if you can convince somebody, okay, I see a guy that you've got that we think fits in better with our system than what has worked out for Kyle, you try to pull the trigger on that. That's where I think that this team needs to go. What you do with Andre Drummond, again, DNPCDs in elimination playoff games to me is just unfathomable on a certain level. That's a really difficult situation that I do not have the privy, or I'm not privy to understanding. And Trez has to get a little meaner. You know, there's guys who just plain have to improve on this roster. I don't necessarily always believe in changing so many things up. Some guys just have to look inside themselves and say, hey, I need to be a better player to get this team back to the level that they need to be.
AC, I'd like to see back. I'm a big fan of Alex Caruso. It's okay. Going to be interesting how his situation works out with the Lakers. But that's a guy that I think, you know, has got championship pedigree, which, by the way, he was out for the second half of the game as well. He's been battling injuries all season as well. We didn't really talk about KCP battling injuries as well. So it wasn't just Anthony Davis. He had a few different guys out. I think the Kuzma thing's interesting because Kuzma, this might be one of those off seasons where it could be mutually beneficial for both sides, right? Kuzma is a young enough player who has incredible experience playing with champions over the last few years and has an NBA championship. And oh, by the way, got a 3-year, $40 million deal, which is a good contract. And what I'm referring to there,
that's a manageable deal.
Very manageable contract. So it's better to have money behind Kyle Kuzma like they do now, where before, when he was making such little money, you couldn't kind of get what you wanted, the equivalent back talent-wise. So I think that there might be an opportunity that comes, maybe I'm wrong on this, where Kyle Kuzma, maybe he gets a place to kind of shine a little bit more on his own. At the same time, Lakers can get somebody to come help win right now and be in a more, get a more consistent, experienced player. So let me take some phone calls here. Let's start off with James in LA. James, what do you think the Lakers should do in the offseason now that unfortunately the offseason has started?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
And, got it, man.
I think that they need to actually strip the core. What you said about Kuzma, I think he needs to go. Sacramento was looking to take him. I think we need to send him over to Sacramento and take Buddy Hield if possible. But the other ones like Wesley Matthews, all these guys, they're supposed to be pros, man. We picked them up for their shooting, and we're not getting anything back out of them. If we can go back and get Lou Williams, I would love that. Denari, I mean, he's a big guy who shoots the threes if he's open. We get the Morris. Other Morris twin, and he can't seem to hit the bottom of the ocean. The one the Clippers have is making all the shots.
Well, James, let me jump in here. First of all, you're not getting Buddy Hield. Let me just say that. And here's the reality. I mean, for the Sacramento Kings, that's such a key piece. So obviously, but maybe you're saying a player like Buddy Hield, where he's more of a experienced shooter that you can rely on more from the outside. That's one thing. Second thing, if you want to tell me about which Morris twin that you have, I'll take Markieff. Do you know Marcus Morris is getting $64 million while Markieff was getting just a couple million dollars? So let's not forget how the financial side of that looks. And I think we're going to get a lot of this, Glenn. I'm going to go right back to the calls here. I think there's going to be Laker fans that want to see change. And you bring up an interesting point. It's not, well, just change it because it didn't work out. No. Slow down for a second. Maybe there's some, instead of just saying, let's just start from scratch, you might just need to make a tweak or two.
Yeah.
And by making a tweak or two, it might put you in a better position. Let's go back out here. Let's go to John in Hawthorne. John, thank you for calling in, bud. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, I think the idea about a tweak or two is wishful thinking. I was at the game yesterday. They looked slow. They looked slow compared to Phoenix. I don't know if they had fight in them or they just gave up, but they looked slow. You want to talk about what the Lakers need to do in the offseason? First thing you got to do is you got to send a letter to the NBA and show them some of the fouls that people commit on LeBron that they don't even call, let alone some of the things that get called as flagrants on other people. I mean, the foul to the face by Draymond Green was a common foul, and then some two flagrants yesterday, neither one of which really should have been a flagrant. That's nonsense. And then to tweak around some of these other guys, you need speed and you need shooters in today's NBA. The Lakers survived last year because they were the best team in the paint when AD is healthy. If you can't rely on making 60 or 70% of your shots from within the key, and you can't make a shot from the outside like we dried up this series, the Lakers can't compete. They're not a championship team. They're barely a playoff team. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, man. Let's go to another phone call here. Let's go to Raider Deb in Fontana. Raider Deb, appreciate you calling in. What's going on?
Hey, Sleewell. Hey, yeah, it's good to hear you. So I have a few points. One, I think one of the biggest mistakes Pelinka made was not doing more to keep Rondo last year. I don't care if he did get $15 million. You bring him back. He was the key to that team winning in the championship last year in the bubble. The way he came back and played. And with LeBron and AD out this year, he could have kept the team together, given us a more of a better chance to win those games that we needed to win, to not have had to fall to the 7th, 8th spot. Next thing, the caller kind of took part of my points. That team looked old last night. You're talking about bringing in veterans next year? Well, I hope we bring in some young veterans and not more old age, almost at the end of their rope, like Matthews and
Marc Gasol,
a couple of others, but they're slow. I mean, there was no – and here's the biggest thing, Sleeve, and then give me one sec. They had no intensity to attack the basket in this entire series. They were afraid of attacking the basket except for LeBron. Schroeder, at one point in game two, he started attacking. That got us the lead, got us the game. But this team is not a shooting team, whether it's a jump shot or a three-pointer. Why is the lack of not attacking the basket to at least try to get Phoenix in foul trouble?
Raider Depp, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. You know it's interesting.
That was the best phone call of the day. Yeah, easily,
she was great.
By the
she was great. And she's, by the way, a huge Bronco fan. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so, Clint, you know what's interesting is when I hear the – what do you mean go out and get more experience? You had experience. And she's referring to the Wesley Matthews. Marc Gasol is a good example. But they went and got youth too. That's what Montrezl Harrell and that's what Dennis Schroeder. That was your youth. You got a guy that was 27, a guy that was 26. Drummond ain't old. They had enough younger players that's supposed to give you kind of that punch. But I go back to this. Just when you thought things would start clicking, the engine just turned off, and that was the entire season. And maybe it just wasn't experience. Maybe it just wasn't the youth that they had. Maybe it just wasn't any of that stuff. But I think overall for the Lakers, it was clear that they just couldn't figure out a way to kind of get through some of the obstacles.
To Pelinka's, I don't want to say credit, but like if I told you, okay, I'll replace Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, and Rajon Rondo with Dennis Schroeder, Andre Drummond, and Trez Harrell, you would have thought, okay.
And Wes Matthews, you could even put him in there because I think that was
two bigs in a guard and a guard. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would have thought that would have been replacement level. It wasn't. You know what I mean? And I think that point you made earlier in the show about him outsmarting himself being Pelinka, it might not have been that, but sometimes you just miss. You know what I mean? And if between the sort of the turnover you had, between whether or not guys even still wanted to be on the team after the bubble, which was a different experience, and therefore the type of player you wanted was a different type of a guy. Like, blind resume, if you'd said, I'll take these three guys versus these three guys, it did not look that bad at the time. However, it didn't work out, and it's easy to second-guess it now. And I don't think there's anything wrong with second-guessing it, but, this is why it's risky to do stuff like that. Is that sometimes it just doesn't work, and clearly for this roster it hasn't.
Well, and this is the league that we're in. If it works, you look like a genius. If it doesn't, you get criticized. That's how it works. All right, more of your phone calls coming up next. We appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Don't forget, all day you could react on 710 ESPN, Alan Sliwa and Clinton Yates, Travis and Sliwa Show.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
lived. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is how Chris and I communicate. We communicate through promos. That's how we communicate. We never actually talk to each other. Chris,
you could ask me too.
The next promo is going to be, hey, Al, can you get a couple promos for this upcoming weekend? It's all going to be in the promo. Okay. I want to get back to the phone calls, and I think this is going to be an interesting conversation, and this is going to continue to kind of progress. You know how this works, Clint, and especially here in L.A. Everybody's going to put their GM hat on and try and fix this thing, right? And this is kind of the beauty. Everybody's going to have their own opinion. They're going to have their own vision. And I think that's what makes offseason so intriguing. And unfortunately for the Lakers, on June 4th, the offseason has begun. All right, let's go to JD in Compton. JD, thank you for calling in, bud. You're on Travis and Sliwa show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, JD?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Hey, okay, Dennis Schroeder did us a big favor by not accepting that contract. He showed us that he's really weak. He's not fit for the Lakers. So DeMar DeRozan is a free agent. He'll fix one of those role player problems. And Norman Powell, Portland Trailblazers, he's going to opt out. And that gives us right now the Lakers are top five in free agency. We got Golden State, 161. Brooklyn, 165. Philly, 138. Clippers, 146. Lakers only at $119 million. So they got money to play with next year now. What do you guys think?
JD, appreciate you calling in. First of all, let me just say this, Clint. When he starts going over all the money, you know, all the numbers
and
stuff.
You're not a capologist guy?
Well, then I'm like, you're making me look bad here, okay? Because I didn't have those numbers in front of me, all right? And who's running the show here? But how interesting of a name is DeMar DeRozan? Because when I said they need a player who, by the way, he's an unrestricted free agent. So he didn't get traded from the Spurs, final year of his contract. He's 31 years old, and he's going to try to get paid, and I don't blame him. He's going to go. This will be his final big contract in the NBA. Yeah. But that type of player, let's say it's not DeMar DeRozan, but that's a perfect player for the Lakers. And what I'm referring to there is DeMar can get his own. DeMar is one of those guys who can go get buckets. DeMar DeRozan, you're not winning a championship if he's the best player on your team or he's the second best player on your team. But if that dude is the third best player on your roster to go along with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, again, I'm not saying that the Lakers can go out and get DeMar DeRozan, but that type of basketball player at that age, that's the type of guy that I'm referring to that might be realistic, that might be the third star, and then you fill in all the other pieces.
I completely agree. L.A. guy, Kobe guy, loves the, you know, would for lack of a better term, would fit in well on paper, you know what I mean, to the Lakers situation. But I like that Norman Powell call. I mean, he's a young guy. It's had a breakout year. And like I said, I want somebody that's got a little bit more of their life. Yeah, I want somebody that's got a little bit more of their lives ahead of them, just in terms of where we're looking down the line, because, again, you're not just building for right now necessarily. You're not building for 5 years from now, but you're building for sort of the next 4 years if we're looking at the length of AD's contract. And he's somebody that I think could really blossom into a player that really becomes that guy. So I like that. I understand where you're coming from with the DeRozan element. And quite frankly, DeRozan would probably be probably better right now. But if you're looking at 3-4 seasons, I like Powell a lot.
This is a good topic that you bring up, because I disagree with you on this one. When you say, I get that you're trying to think in the AD window, right? I get that you're trying to say, Al, it can't just be about tomorrow. Anthony Davis, you got to kind of line some of these guys up for the next regime. I think you don't have to do that. It's not that I'm not buying it. It's just if LeBron was walking into his 16th season, I get it. But because he's now coming into his 19th season, I think the attention of if we thought the Lakers were trying to go all in these last couple of years with LeBron, aren't you now even feeling more pressure to continue to go all in because now it's in his 19th season and the third year of his contract with the Lakers? I believe that, put it this way, if you were holding on to some assets before, like the Kuzmas of the world, the THTs, these type of players, I don't know if you have that luxury anymore. I think you got to go all in, because teams like the Brooklyn Nets, they're going all in, right? Other teams around the NBA, they know they got to compete with the Lakers and the Nets to win a championship. They're freaking pushing all their chips to the front of the table and saying, we're going to take our chances. Teams like the Warriors will be better next year. I don't think that the competition is going to get any easier. You got to kind of think more about today than tomorrow.
I hear you, but a guy like Powell, I mean, listen, what his player option, I mean, not to be making you look bad against Lee, his player option, I'm looking at it right now, is what, 11-6? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get him and another guy, potentially, whereas DeRozan's probably going to bang out a much bigger part of your salary cap. And for me, I think you can kind of not do both in terms of both of those players, but you can fill... You can feel the necessity without just getting one player. You know what I mean? And even though DeRozan might seem like the obvious choice to fill that, I mean, if the window's that close, then okay, then maybe you do need to, I don't know. For me, that's just a different strategy in terms of the type of man management and roster construction you want to do.
I would rather go top heavy at this stage of the Lakers, right? Like, get the best star you can get at this opportunity and then take your chances, because what will happen, Clint, I think the Lakers approved it, other players will want to come sign with the Lakers, plus you're going to end up in the buyout market, probably being able to take advantage of it. At least they've done that over the last couple of years. Okay, let me see if I can squeeze in another call or two here. Let's go to Noah in Studio City. Noah, thank you for calling in, bud.
Hey, thanks for getting me in here last minute. You know what I want to see with this roster? I want to see some dogs. That's what I want. Kyle Kuzma, gone. KCP, gone. I don't want to hear anymore about, well, but KCP, he plays good defense. Really? When? When has he ever seen somebody get hot on the other team and be like, I got him. I got him. He ain't scoring no more. Never. I'm sick of all these guys. I've been saying it for 3 years now. We got that chip last year. Everything fell right for us, and we got it. Great. But it's time to move on. I want dogs on this team. And you know what? I want a coach who's got some dog in him. If I'm Jeannie Buss, my first call is to Jason Kidd. I'll be like, yo, dude, you just got promoted. Come show these kids what heart is all about. Because I'm tired of listening to Frank Vogel just mumble his way. Well, yeah, we got to make some more baskets. And just didn't quite do it tonight. No, man, I want some dog in the fight.
No, appreciate you calling in. Thank you. Well, let me say this, Glenn. This, my friend, is Los Angeles Lakers basketball. It don't matter what you did 8 months ago. It doesn't matter, how great that championship run was last season. It doesn't matter that Anthony Davis got injured and he couldn't go in the last 2.5 games. You get a lot of, you know, that type of reaction is not uncommon. But I will caution everybody by saying that. Appreciate the last year of Lakers basketball, because it has been a fantastic run, and it doesn't always work out your way, and sometimes it doesn't work out because injuries happen. It happened to the Lakers. I don't disagree with everything. I don't agree with a lot of what Noah just said. Unfortunately, that's the final call we're taking, and damn it, I didn't know he was going to be so negative. I would have gone with a different call.
I told you, I want meaner dudes. I'm with Noah on that one, okay? That was a great Frank Vogel impression, though, by the way. Just saying.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. That was bad. All right, so Morales asked, of course we got the dump coming up next. Dump coming up next. Stay right here. We'll get into all the stories that we have not got into, plus a big game coming up between the Clippers and my Dallas Mavericks. All right, that's enough there. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. All right, we appreciate everybody being a part of the show. Of course, we got a ton of topics still to get into. I'm going to throw it over to you, Funches, here, and if you could kind of tee us up on some of these topics here that we haven't got into yet.
All right, we're officially in the dump. And now, the Clippers-Mavs tonight, game 6 in Dallas. Mavs lead 3-2.
Yep.
Road team won every game in this series. Who you guys got tonight?
First of all, let me just say, I am prepared to buy Mavs jerseys at the end of this game if it goes the way that it's supposed to go.
Tim Hardaway Jr.?
This is, unfortunately, Clint, this is what happens when your team is eliminated. You now become such a hater. Such a hater. Who wins? You know, it's an interesting question, because as great as Luka has been, he has to be great for them to win a game, right? So he can't have one of those, the 42 and 14 and 8 that he had in the last one. You kind of got to do that if you're going to get past the Clippers. And they lost 2 games in a row on at home in Dallas. Obviously, Clippers lost 3 in a row. You think they close it out? What do you think?
I think the Clippers are going to lose in game 7. That's what I think.
Really?
That's the Clipper way. Yes.
Can you imagine that? I mean, by the way, I think, you know, obviously this is obvious here. Dallas's best shot is tonight. They take care of it in at home. But can you imagine Clippers losing in
I can
the
very much imagine the Clippers losing in game seven in front of the cardboard cutouts at Staples Center. Yes, I can very much imagine that.
Whose idea was the cardboard cutouts? Doesn't that seem like was like that was the first month of COVID, right? They were doing that in baseball back.
Month. Foul balls were blowing up dog cardboard cutouts, and they still got them going.
Let's say the Clippers lose this series. Who gets to blame?
The Clippers, obviously.
Kawhi, Ty Lue.
Oh, probably Ty, I think, because there was supposed to be some big overhaul. Who was it who said they just got the other dude who's sitting right next to Doc Rivers anyway?
I got a different finger to point at. You know what?
Okay.
Why does Steve Ballmer always get a pass? Why does he get a pass? Why should he get a pass? Doesn't it all start at the front office? It does, honestly. Like, think about it. Think about all the picks that they gave up for Paul George. Think about this. Just trying to get out of the second round is their goal here because they've never been past the second round. If you lose in the first round of the Dallas Mavericks, you had home court for part of the series, Luka can't turn to his right, as his coach Rick Carlisle said. That's a pathetic, pathetic way of ending your season. I hope it happens tonight, but I think you got a point at the owner, too. What else you got, Funches?
All right, guys. Second round matchups are already set. Jazz Suns, obviously Suns. Nets Bucks this weekend, and also 76ers and Hawks. Any early predictions for those series?
Okay, let me
the
let
one
me just
I want to watch
one.
The most is the Hawks. I just love what Trae Young is doing, and the Sixers have very high hopes. I'm very interested to see how this Atlanta train keeps rolling. They're one of the most fascinating stories in the NBA.
And also, don't forget, guys, Embiid is hurting right now.
Yeah,
that's right. He missed the last game. I'm a big fan of Trae Young. I love what he's doing. I don't think that's going to be that good of a series. And unfortunately, the Nets Bucks, that's the series to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. And that starts tomorrow. All this chatter about Brooklyn, this is the best chance Milwaukee has had with their roster to make some real noise in the playoffs. And these two teams collide in the second round. I think this is a great matchup. And then the last thing is the Jazz and the Suns. I don't know about you, but because the Suns just beat the Lakers. And I don't know, some of those antics yesterday, right? Were you just telling me Jay Crowder was doing a little salsa there?
Sleeve was butthurt because guys are dunking late in games. Jay Crowder's doing salsa. Come on. It was great.
Isn't that, by the way, isn't that funny when your team loses, all of a sudden all those things are the only thing you pay attention to? It's like, just go out with class, bro. Go out with class. And they probably didn't even do anything. But just the fact that there was some chirping there yesterday towards the end of the game. I'm going to go Utah Jazz. That, by the way,
that's the sexiest series, for sure.
No, it's not Jazz Suns. It will be Suns and Denver.
It's Suns Nuggets, right?
Yeah, Suns Denver. Yeah. Suns Denver in the
that's
second.
That's the sexiest series to me.
And I'm going Denver. I'm picking Denver. What else we got over there?
All right, Dodgers will face Atlanta Braves this weekend in the series. First time they meet since that seven-game NLCS thriller last season. Any thoughts, Clinton? Baseball man.
Belly's back. Okay, that's all that matters for the Dodgers. He's out there still gazing off into the distance in press conferences in the dugout, which is my favorite thing that he does, besides hitting yams. Cody Bellinger is what matters most on that team right now, and he's playing well.
Is it a surprise, you, Clinton, that three of the top five teams in Major League Baseball are in the NL West?
No, because
Did you think San Francisco would have this good of a season?
At the beginning of the year, I said the objects in the NL West mirror are closer than they appear. Mm. I was referring to the Padres, but again, this is what I cautioned Dodgers fans against getting too chesty about is exactly what's going on. So we like to see the Padres, and I say that because I like fun in baseball, but the Giants have been one of the better stories for sure.
You know, I think it's also interesting, too, for the Dodgers. They have 15 – their next 15 games are against teams below 500. All right, while the Padres got some stiff competition, I think Mets and Cubs over the next seven games, something along those lines. Giants have some tough games coming up. This could be the month where the Dodgers take back the NL West, get back atop the NL West, and then probably don't let go of it from there. What else?
All the games count the same. Don't forget that.
Also, got to squeeze this last one in. I don't know if you guys will be watching this boxing match this Sunday. Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul.
On Sunday?
Yes, on Sunday.
Why are they doing it on a Sunday?
Have no clue. Have Clint, no clue.
Clint, you take me as somebody that has followed Logan Paul's career.
Wow.
And somebody that you know everything about
and
his
also
style.
Let me tell you one
show. His style.
One thing, guys. Also, one thing, guys. Other. There's no. There will be no winner of the contest. No winner will be awarded. No
what do you
W.
Mean?
No. No one's going to be determined a winner of this boxing match. I guess that's
okay,
one of the rules.
Hold on. Let me tell you something. Before like 2 weeks ago, I did not know that Logan and Jake Paul were two different people. Straight up. That's my analysis of that situation.
By the way, that's awesome because I definitely went through a stretch. I was like, what is he, a nickname? What is that? Like, I don't understand what they're doing here.
I thought they were the same guy. I thought the same guy was going to fight Floyd and the other guy, with the UFC fighter.
News to
all right, we are coming to a close here. Clinton, thank you, my man. Appreciate it. Fantastic doing
man.
The show with you. For everybody else on 710 ESPN, thank you for all the calls. Unfortunately for the Lakers, obviously the season is over. Stick around. Max Kellerman Show is coming up next. I'm Alan Sliwa.